This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Thunderpants!
What are you laughing at?
Laffy Taffy. They have a funny joke on every wrapper. And I love how fruity they are. Banana's my favorite. Want one?
Sure. So smooth and creamy.
I like to eat them after school and after dinner and after...
Whenever you need a good LOL?
Yeah. So, here's the joke. What do clouds wear under their shorts?
Thunderpants. That is good.
Laffy Taffy. Deliciously funny. Head to LaffyTaffy.com to shop now.
Hello and welcome to the final big game preview podcast of this year's Guinness Six Nations. And it's arguably the most nerve-wracking after an agonising defeat in Twickenham. Ireland's Grand Slam aspirations evaporated out of thin air, leaving us with an empty, hollow feeling. Still, there's silver on the line and just two match points are needed to guarantee back-to-back championships. One point should suffice. I'm sure Keno will explain it all later on anyways. If that doesn't test this team's mettle, nothing will. But as you can imagine, Keno is joining us tonight, as is Craig Manson, another returnee and Scotland representative. So firstly, welcome back, fellas.
Good evening.
Thanks, Caleb.
Good to have you. It's good to be back again.
It's good to have you on, as always. And making a long-awaited debut is the disciplinarian of the Provincial State of Mind podcast, in their host, Owen Harrison. So welcome on to you, Owen.
Thanks very much. Glad to be on board.
It's good to have you. We'll just get cracking. We'll get straight into it. The Ireland 23, changes kept to a minimum. No changes to the match day 15, only on the bench. We'll get to that in a second. They line out 15, Hugo Keenan on the wings, Calvin Nash and James Lowe, with Robbie Henshaw and Bundy Aki in the centres. Jack Crowley partners Jemison Gibson-Barrick at half back. The front row, Andrew Porter, Dan Sheehan, Tadhg Furlong, with Joe McCarthy and Tadhg Byrne in the second row. Ireland captain Peter O'Mahony is at blindside flanker with Josh van der Fleer and Caelan Doris alongside him. On the bench, it's Ronan Keller, Keane Healy, Findlay Beelam. They have opted not to go with 6-2, so it is Ryan Baird and Jack Conan making up the forwards, with Conor Murray and the returning Harry Byrne and Gary Ringrose rounding out the side. I will throw it to yourself first, Keane. What catches your eye from this match day 23?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the biggest change is the back to the 5-3. I think Frawley didn't pass the second HIA, I think. I don't know if we actually had that confirmed or not, but I know he's been sent back to Leinster, I think, to rehab. So, yeah, also, I mean, it's possibly no harm. We did see some of the frailties of the 6-2 in that England game. If you do get two injuries in the backs, it... absolutely ruins you. So that's a work on. Got plenty of work ons from last week. Calvin Nash, great to see he passed his HIA and he's back in. He's been in flying form on that wing across all four games, unfortunately. Our usual Galwegian, well, he's an adopted Galwegian, Madzer isn't available. So but Calvin Nash has been brilliant in that spot across all four games. Baird and Conan were the kind of the non-front row forwards picked for the bench. It's surprised a number of people that
do you agree with it, Keane? I'll just throw it out. Do you agree with going with Baird as your lock?
I think I can see where they're coming from. Baird has done well enough in the lineout, but it is from six. He has, you know, he is a lock predominantly before this season. He has done well at six, but he may not offer as much in the lineup in the ruck as Henderson. But I'm thinking with Baird and Conan, they're possibly looking to focus on more of a carrying game in the latter stages. But we'll get on to a bit more of that later on. Harry Byrne over, well, presumably Ross Byrne would have been the other kind of name that presents itself for the backup 10. And Ross wasn't in camp. He was injured, came back from long-term injury and did play two games for Leinster, but not being in camp the entire training camps. So it possibly makes more sense just to have someone in there who has gone through the full camp process. And then, yeah, Ringrose is the last backs cover. You can't really complain about that. I'd say he's probably who most people would have picked to put in there. He's got decent versatility, offers plenty in attack and defense, has a bit of threatened kicking as well. Might be a bit of jiggery pokery if we have an injury at fullback. I'd prefer not to go down that road if we can avoid it. But other than that, I think it's a fairly settled side.
Absolutely. And Craig Manson of the Scottish Rugby Pod back to join us this evening. And Craig, I know, you know, Glasgow and Edinburgh have been doing all right in the URC. There's no excuses now. You should know this Irish 23 because of that, even if some of them don't get many URC minutes. What stands out to you from your perspective?
I think, actually, you've covered it. I think Baird, well, first of all, the 5-3, that was, we both seemed to put a 6-2 out last weekend and really regretted it. So I think the 5-3 is going back to where we should, both teams should be. Baird's the interesting one, because really looking at the squad, it's pretty much settled in. It's pretty much a winning squad. They all know everything that each is doing. So I think, as I say, Baird, I think Byrne, I think he could be the weak link, I'm not entirely sure that if your 10 goes down very, very quickly, if Crowley does get taken off very quickly, then I don't know if you're going to have as much of an attacking threat as he can produce. And again, I'm very pleased to see, well, not pleased, but pleased to see that Nash Pasty's hasn't had any problems, because he has, as you say, he's been on fire. He's an attacking threat. So, yeah, it's much of a muchness for me. I think it's what we expect to see. I don't see Ireland throwing anything different at Scotland. I think they're going with what they know, and they're expecting to just roll over the top of us, I think.
That would be the plan. I'm not going to bite my tongue on it. If there's any coach who knows how to go after a very important halfback and most notably an out half, it might be Gregor Townsend. But we'll move on. We'll talk. I'll get Owen's perception on things, because Owen...
Here, hold on. Wait a minute. You were on our pod last night and we did not throw any shade on you last night. That's ridiculous. Anyway.
I could not say that last night. Even on Patreon, I couldn't say that last night. No, to be fair, it's just that Conor Murray's knee just always seemed to be in the way of a couple of Glasgow back rows a couple of years ago. But anyways.
Well, let's just say Stuart Hogg's leg was in the way of Peter Emani many things as well. So that's a different story. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, but like I agree with that. Obviously, like Peter Manning.
Yeah.
No, we will carry on. We had to just get it out there, anyways. And might be the last time Short Hug gets mentioned, I suppose. Owen, I'll come to you. I've listed a couple of players of the main decisions. Keane and Craig have touched on some of them. From, you know, Calvin Nash, obviously Gary Ringrose comes back in. Baird over Henderson, for me, that's a big one. We don't know if there's an injury there. Conor Murray over Craig Casey, probably had to go with that. And Harry Byrne, is there any of them you want to touch on, or do you want to go in a different direction?
Well, I think, you know, as the guys have spoken about, it's a very much a settled team and squad. You can name the 15 without waiting for Gerry Thornley's article on a Wednesday evening nearly at this point. But it's getting to the point where it's almost Eddie O'Sullivan like. It's harder to get into this team than it is to get out of. And I think it's, to me, they're playing a very settled style, but there is subtle evolutions in the style that Ireland are playing. You can see them moving more towards on-ball rugby, where they're trying to keep possession. They're taking more passes compared to kicks. The ratios are there, they're coming down. But I don't think they've fully committed to it. And there's an over-reliance on Joe McCarthy there to take the ball hard off nine. And I don't see any replacement for him within that, within the starting pack or within the bench there to come on. Ryan Baird and Jack Conan are both better carrying ball out wide towards the edge. I don't see them being able to add to that. Keane Healy's mobility is going to limit him coming in and doing that. Finley Beelam, you know, he's good, but once you get to the top level at international, would you consider him a quality tight carrier? I'm not too sure. Same with Ronan Kelleher. And you don't have it either, I think, in the backs. Gary Ringrose, again, very good tackler and sits in well with the sort of the counter transition style. And Harry Byrne, I call it stand and sling. He fits into the system and he runs that very well. But I just wonder, are we going to see Ireland like they had to last week against England, where they're going to have to go back to that counter transition play rather than necessarily evolve and continue on with ball in hand more? It is the team that we expected. I think the big one, as you've talked about, is going from a 6-2 to a 5-3. My guess, it hasn't been confirmed, but my guess is that Frawley was actually he failed his HIA. And that's the reason for it, because he has been the guy that Farrell has stuck with through thick and thin in this. So I'd imagine if he was available, he would have been in there. Even if they had to go to a 5-3, I think they still would have stuck with him. I have a feeling that Ireland will still have a little bit too much for them, but I think there are places there that Ireland are thin, particularly with the backups. If you see an injury to Hugo Keenan or to Jack Crowley, or maybe even Joe McCarthy having to come off early, they're the sort of the weak points. And I think for me, Ian Henderson was very unlucky to miss out on this. I thought he was excellent when he came on against England. He steadied up the line out, made a bit of an impact, but I can understand why they're going with the athletic impact that Ryan Baird can bring.
Yeah, the Henderson one is one that jumps out to me as well, because McCarthy typically has not, I don't think he's gone 80 minutes yet, maybe against Italy, I'm not 100% sure, but he hasn't in the other games. And like, maybe you do need Henderson's tight forward carrying potentially. We don't know how the game's going to unfold, but usually you'll need that. And then I still believe Ian Henderson's the best line-out caller in the country. You know, and you see that, like, especially the two or three pressure lineouts when he came on the last day. I think he called one of them on himself, if not two of them on himself, and he won them. And that's what he does every time he comes off the bench. So if Tadhg Byrne doesn't go 80 minutes, even though he's gone 80 minutes in every game he's played, bar the yellow card, big responsibility then for Ryan Baird to step up as a lineout caller, because I think this is his first year doing it with Leinster on kind of a fuller term basis. And then the Harry Byrne one, Keno, I think you touched on it. Like, if it was up to me, I would have Ross Byrne in ahead of Harry Byrne. Ross has been injured for weeks. He's only played two games since October, so I understand it, but since November, but it's just, I don't know, not 100% sure. The only thing I disagree on, I think Ronan Kelleher has done all right off the bench. Of the forwards, I think he's probably been the best of them, in my opinion. But I haven't been too impressed with the forward impact. And last weekend was not a great impact from them. Bar maybe Kelleher again, but that's the only concern. We can talk about last weekend and the woes of that, but I don't think we will, because I don't think we have time for that. We'll talk about Scotland's woes maybe, but we'll just give them your team first of all, because their team was named earlier today as well. I think just two changes, I believe. They start at number 15 with Blair Kinghorn, now of Toulouse. Kyle Steyn, Hugh Jones, Stafford McDowell, and Duhan van der Merwe make up the rest of the outside backs, with Finn Russell as co-captain alongside the returning Ben White. His impact will be huge in this game. If it's Anthony, like how he was missed last week. Pierre Schumann, George Turner, and Xander Fagus, who make up the front row, with Grant Gilchrist and Scott Cummings behind them in the second row. Andy Christie of Saracens once again gets the nod on one flank, with Rory Darge co-captain on the other flank. And Jack Dempsey is at number 8. And the bench sees Ewan Ashman, Roy Sutherland, now of Iona, Elliot Miller-Mills of Northampton, Sam Skinner, Matt Ferguson, George Horn, Cameron Redpath, and Kyle Rowe. Craig, would you mind taking us through this team and what should be standing out from an Irish perspective?
First things first, I think Blair Kinghorn in brackets plays for Toulouse, close brackets, is a constant thing now, because I don't think everyone, you know, I'm a believer of Blair Kinghorn, but I still have to kind of go to myself, what, he's with Toulouse? He's playing for Toulouse? Blair Kinghorn? Anyway, that's a different story. Going through, Kyle Steyn is a great stand-in for Darcy Graham. Darcy's lost a little bit of his edge due to the injury worries that he's had, and you know, Steyn does come in at 14 and provides a strong attacking platform. Hugh Jones has shored up his defensive capabilities, but is showing himself as usual as one of the stronger attackers at 13 compared to, for example, Chris Harris, who we lent on regularly as a defensive captain. Stafford McDowell is not so much an unknown quantity, but you know, he's only had a couple of caps. It's a great chance for him to start and come in and show everyone what he can do. From what I can see, he's there to provide the sort of the strong runner that we're missing with Tuipulotu out. So he's going to hopefully give you some crash ball, also get in behind the defence and offload and give Ben White or Hugh Jones someone to run onto. Obviously, Doohan, we know exactly where we are with Doohan, who seems to perform very incredibly well in a Scotland shirt. Finn Russell, well, you know, whether people agree with me or not, best 10 in the world at this moment in time, and I think he's performing well. Even when he's having a bad game, he's having a good game for us. Ben White, just as you say, Ben White has been missed, and we talked about it last night, how my colleagues on the Scottish Rugby podcast, they're obviously Glasgow supporters, and they're totally convinced that Edinburgh have broken Ali Price. You know, it's good to see Ben White come in with the attacking skills of George Horn as a backup.
Can I just pause you for a second there, Craig, because I want to just touch on one of the decisions in the back line. That is Stafford McDowell at 12. Mm. Most of our listeners, I think, would be familiar with his name as he plays for Glasgow quite often. Do you think that'll make a huge change when last week they didn't really get much go forward and it was up to Doohan to get them forward? Do you think McDowell will kind of be that impact carrier in the back line now?
Very much so, because, you know, well, first things first, you've got, okay, he doesn't play week in, week out with Finn Russell, but he does play week in, week out and train week in, week out with Hugh Jones. And from what we can tell, the Hugh Jones to a Pilotu axis is a familiarity, along with an attacking style that that Franco Smith has been bringing on with Glasgow. So I think you're getting Stafford McDowell for the physicality that is missing with Tuipulotu not being there, but also he's a tall guy. He's over 6 foot. He's a bit like Blair Kinghorn, so he can attack the edges off the soft shoulders of players, and also onto the strong shoulders of players, and still get around the back of them and get offloads away, etc. So for me, I think you're going to, we hope we're going to see a little bit more attacking shape, a little bit more breakdown off the Irish defence using them. Where I'm more concerned, I'm not concerned about our attack, I'm more concerned about our defence, and how he's going to work with that, because as you guys have all discussed with the Irish squad, they've, from what we can tell, they're picking their players for go forward, not just for set piece. And where Scotland really struggle is when we've got a team bearing down on us on a regular basis and going 10, 15, 20 phases, that's when we tend to give penalties away all over the park, rather than the Irish giving away penalties in the 22 when they're under pressure. So very rarely under pressure, but they are under. They do that. So it'll be an interesting one. I think Stafford McDowell is all the Glasgow fans are screaming, saying, "Fantastic! This is about time he's been due it." I'm a little bit more standoffish with it, and we'll see how we go. You know.
Oh, that's understandable. And then, just on that kind of pack, it's unchanged, I believe. The yeah. Christy, Darge, Dempsey back row, maybe just focus on them for a second, because that's probably, you know, you mentioned Ireland's discipline. Ireland's discipline's been very, very poor this championship. If they're going to get any inroads and get their way up the field, it's probably not going to be a power game. It's going to be absolute stifling of the breakdown through those three, you'd imagine.
Yeah, as we saw last week, the only real power in the back row came from Dempsey. We laughed about it last night and had a chat about it last night about how he is very much, and what I worry about is he's very much, well, if we're not doing anything, I'm going to do it myself. And he tends to just go off. Where I would be concerned about is our breakdown recycle. What's it? Resource in the ruck. I worry that we don't resource the ruck properly. And so if Dempsey does break through and go on his own, there's a very big ability for him to be turned over. We find that with Schumann. We find that with Xander Fagerson. When they go in and they go off on their own, they're going to break through the defensive line, get over the gain line. But it's how we resource that ruck afterwards which gets us into trouble. Yeah, you'll probably find that Christie's there to be fantastic in open play. Rory Darge is there to hunt for the ball. And then you've got your Jack Dempsey there to give us go forward.
Yeah, there's a nice solid balance. Owen, I'll come to you next, because fair, yeah, like anyone who's listening here is probably going to be screaming, well, Scotland haven't caused us any problems in a long time. And that's fair enough. Like, with Josh van der Fleer throw into a lineout last year, he threw to two every time and we still managed to win the lineouts. So it's a fair conversation, but like, it's a tale of two wounded animals. So like, where do you think Scotland are going to try and go after Ireland? And do you think they will get inroads in it?
I think there's two things that I'm looking out for in this. Number one, I think, is can they upset the Irish set piece? I think that to me, that's the first one. And then secondly, what are they going to do in defence? Because from what I've seen, England caused Ireland an awful lot of problems with a blitz defence from the outside in. And they cut off ball, but they added the physicality of pushing them back into a sort of a U-shaped trap. And they had big, heavy hitters coming in that upset Ireland at the breakdown. From what I've seen of Scotland, I haven't seen that same line speed. I haven't seen the shooter coming from the outside to press it back in. And I don't know whether they're happier to go up and drift. And if that's going to cause Ireland enough problems to put them off their game. I think missing out on Tulupu at 12 is a big one. I think the physicality he would there. I think Ireland will be looking to use their centres, as they always do, as auxiliary flankers. And it's literally give the ball to Bundy, let him bash it up. You get your go forward ball, you get your game line on that, and then you start to play off the back of it. I would, if the Scots can stop that game line and can start to slow the ball down, that's where they're going to find. They're going to cause Ireland problems. But what I've seen so far in the Six Nations from Scotland is I think they're kicking a little bit more, and I think they're kicking a little bit longer. And what they're looking to do is they're looking to create the opportunities for that back three to run on counter transition. They're looking to get it to Doohan as quickly as possible. Let him build up speed, get him into space as quickly as possible. And for me, the idea is they're going to kick, but the idea will, are the response, Ireland's response is going to be key. Are Ireland going to kick it back to them long enough to allow them to do that? Will Ireland alter their kicking style and maybe go for more box kicks that are contestable, or at least that you can reset the line without giving them that head start? Or are they actually just going to keep the ball and try and play a bit more and not necessarily give them the opportunity. And I think we've seen that in games before where if the opposition, if you kick the ball away and your game plan is based on the opposition kicking it back, if the opposition don't kick it back as often as you like, you're suddenly giving away and you're putting yourself on the defensive side too often. And you're really putting yourself under pressure in potentially even in the wrong areas of the pitch. And that can become an accumulative effect over the period. And that's why I think the sort of the last 20 and the bench. And I think I'd have some concerns over maybe the particularly the tight head, Elliot Miller-Mills, coming in. He didn't look particularly against England. I thought he had some problems when he came on. It was early. He came on for 10 minutes for the HIA, looked to be under significant pressure. Ireland scrum hasn't been brilliant itself, but I think that's maybe something that they'll look to do. Ireland have had bad line-out problems. It's gone well when France were down a second row for whatever it was, 60, 70 minutes. But I think that if I'm Scotland, I'm looking to try and attack that and take that platform away from Ireland as much as possible.
Yeah, no, the kicking game point is really interesting, isn't it? Because I don't know if you've gotten prepared enough, but I did do a piece in it myself there a couple of weeks ago. Scotland are kicking a lot, predominantly through the halfbacks. Kinghorn is not being asked to just fire it back, like, say, James Lowe. But if you go contestable, as you said, Kyle Steyn is very, very good in the air, probably better than James Lowe. On the flip side, Calvin Nash, probably better than Doohan. Doohan has the height advantage. If you go with lengthy kicks, you do risk them running it back, which is always, you know, that challenge. And then, like, I hate to say it, but if you do get into that kind of kick battle and defensively, Ireland have had some pretty poor mistakes off first phase defense. We've seen it last day, obviously off a set piece, but you know, when you're betting in guys like Joe McCarthy to be, you know, blitzing through the middle, I said it the last day, if he's not as accurate, it'll go horribly wrong because you can't give Finn Russell as much time as you have, say, Garbisi or Costello, because those lads aren't as aware. They're not as quick. You give that to Finn, that's where there's issues. But then the flip side of that is when Scotland needed, you know, a little bit of composure, as we discussed with Craig last night on his pod, they kind of went on one-man missions. So there's a loads of different ways to look at it. And Keena, I'll bring you in here because we're kind of on to that stage of the podcast now. We're looking at where we see this game being won and lost. From your vantage point, if Ireland are going to win, if Scotland are going to win, if we're going to have that Celtic conspiracy again, as was thrown around last year, how do you see the game going and how do you see both sides coming at it?
Yeah, I did a bit of a dig into the numbers on this, and I have a lot of what both Owen and yourself covered there. So maybe just to back it up with a couple of bits, I reckon Scotland absolutely will target the Irish line out. It did go pretty well against France and Italy, but really wasn't contested, and it did not go well in the last two games. It's a key platform for us. 15 of the 16 tries Ireland have scored have been based off of a line out. 94% from the front and middle ball, but only 57% from the back ball. So that throw past two is just not working. Baird and Byrne are second and third for lineouts, one per 80 minutes, and first and third for steals per 80, which is pretty decent, actually. Is one of the reasons why I'm hopeful for Baird getting a go in the lineout. But the Scottish lineout has actually been going pretty well. It misfired badly against Wales. 67% success in that game, but much better after that. They're 29 from 30 for front and mid ball, but only three tries off the lineout, as it's not really the platform they focus on. Cummings is 8 in the top 10 for lineouts, 1 per 80, and 5th for steals per 80. So he's going to be key in trying to disrupt that Irish lineout in attack. In terms of the tackle and breakdown, Scotland have they have the tools to do real damage. They're 5 of the top 10 dominant tacklers in the competition so far, and 4 of the top 10 tackle success rates. Whereas Ireland only have 1 and 2 in the same. Turnovers, 1 are both about the same. So they're probably looking to sharpen that, to get in on that. And I think possibly the changes to the back row may well help them do that. Ireland slightly better on average turnovers conceded. Ruck success is really where the difference is there at the moment. Ireland first in the competition with 97.9% rook success, and Scotland sixth with 96.6. So they're going to need to be careful to guard their own ball as well. And it gives you an idea of how little difference there actually is in rook success percentages in the competition, where it is literally 1.3% difference between first and sixth. Outside of those, I think major Scottish targets, there's some which are going to be targets for both. The kicking battle is going to be huge. Scotland have gone with a very kick-heavy game plan. They are 132 kicks for nearly 4 kilometres in the games so far. Finn with 66 in play and Ben White with 37. So, yeah, absolutely a focus on the halfbacks. They are very much running a kick-and-counter slash turnover game. Six of their 11 tries were off turnover or counter. So very much the focus there. Ireland are going to be tested in the air. I think James Lowe's exits are going to be crucial, as well as one of those aerial battles where they're contestable, and trying to find space on those kicks, or make sure they're contested cleanly. I think Crowley as well will hopefully be looking to try and find that space in behind the Scottish defensive line that Italy managed to exploit. I think that could be a source outside of the line out. Another big one, obviously, then, is discipline. Ireland are the worst team in the Six Nations for yellow cards and penalties, which is an issue. I think it's a bigger issue that they're really going to have to look at after the tournament, because I think the performances in the first four games papered over the cracks to some extent, but the England game really blew those issues into the wide open. And can't give that way that many penalties and consistently expect to win. Scotland only marginally better on penalties, 11 on average per game as opposed to 11.3. But they also conceded the most territory from penalty kicks to touch, and Ireland gained the second most territory from penalty kicks to touch. So Scotland kicking their points from penalties for the most part, but Ireland really looking to use that line out. Outside of that, then, the 22 entries. Ireland are essentially first for points per entry and second for entries per match. Scotland are third for entries per match conceded and fourth for match points conceded per entry. So I think Scottish discipline in the 22 and the ability to get back up into the line and make those tackles and look for those turnovers in the 22 is going to be key for them, because they're going to need to stop Ireland from scoring tries.
Yeah, no, it's true. And like, it should be said as well, Ireland have beaten Scotland the last couple of years, they've had the full array probably go their way. Like, yes, we talked about power, but you talked about kicking game. Ireland scored two, if not three tries in the last two fixtures stemmed directly from kicks. And that's kicks to wits. You'd think Gary Ringrose's kick. For instance, there was a contestable that led to the Jack Conan try last year. That's obviously going to be crucial. We mentioned the defence as well. Craig, I might just get your take on this, because you've seen Scotland, you know, play well, but they are vulnerable, especially vulnerable in the second half. Is there anything that stands out to you there that, of maybe Keane's metrics or just from watching Scotland, do you think that's where they can be got at, but also at the same time, that's where they could get at Ireland?
Yeah, I think the main issue for us is 22 entry and points scored, because we can, our you know, again, Finn Russell, and also with when we have Sione Tuipulotu and Hugh Jones, we've proven ourselves to being able to get up the field and get into the 22. It's where we then let ourselves down on. For example, we maybe take too many bites at the forward power, and we get turned over again. Somebody tries to take the ball on themselves, and you know, they're knocking on the door on a regular basis, and Finn isn't taking enough control, or he isn't aware enough to say, And I can't believe I'm saying that about Finn Russell, but there's times that he's shown in the Six Nations that he hasn't been aware. Look at France, the try that was never, whatever you want to call it. He could have put that ball out to the backs, you know, two phases earlier, and we would have scored because they were, you know, France were far too narrow. So that's our issue. We regularly have a problem with when we get into 22, we batter away and get nowhere, and then all of a sudden there's a turnover or we knock it on. So I think that's probably our weakness. But on transition, if we can disrupt as much as we can, the Irish defence, or in other attack, I should say, if we can disrupt it as much as we can, which England managed to do, we can transition and attack, and that's where we're the most dangerous, I believe. So it's a matter of just hopefully Stafford McDowell's going to be in place and is going to be as quick as we expect. Bringing Rory Sutherland back into the squad shows that we are concerned about the scrummaging, but also we'll probably be looking. I'm hoping that Townsend's going to use him earlier and bring him on someone who can come on and no matter what anyone says about his performances at Ulster, I still believe that he has a very, very good tight head and he can do a loose head, I should say, and he can do a very, very good job there. So Miller Mills, yes, his first 10 minutes against England weren't great, but actually the last 20 minutes he was very good. So we have to just put a lot of confidence into our bench. But I think we've talked about this before. I would expect them to come on earlier. You know, bringing on a bench and fresh legs at 65 to 70 minutes is no good at all. So if we're to take this Irish team seriously and the opportunity to win, if we are convincing ourselves that we're going to win, we need to bring on fresh legs earlier, because I think there's going to be a lot of defending to do, and we need to make sure that we're fresh to try and put pressure on Ireland for a full 80 minutes, not let them off in 40 minutes, have a strong first half and then let Ireland away with it in the second half.
And that point about the benches is so important, because, you know, we discussed on your podcast last night, Scotland probably haven't used their bench right at all in the last couple of games. A lot of players coming on the last 5-6 minutes, no time to make an impact at all. Ireland, I think similarly, I don't think the bomb squad idea of using the 6-2 as a couple of players coming on to one goal, I don't think it's worked. I don't think it's been helped by, you know, the timing of three of the yellow cards that they received. They're all kind of in that when you're about to, you know, make those changes bracket. But I just don't think they're coming on and making that instant powerful difference that you're looking for. And listen, Ireland fans will be hopeful it won't come down to, you know, 60 minutes in, how's our bench going to respond? We need a kick out of them. We don't want that to be the case. You want this game done. You know, last year, the Grand Slam game got hairy. Most of the Scotland games, barring the World Cup, have kind of been thereabouts heading into the last 20 minutes, but you probably don't want to be relying on it either. And Owen, we'll start off the predictions with yourself, because, listen, everything about it says Ireland should win this. They're at home. They've got a championship to play for. They need a bounce-back performance. The performances have been, I think it's fair to say, declining from round one to round two to round three to round four, and now heading into the final round. Need to win. Only a win will do. Do you think Ireland are going to get it done? And how do you see the game unfolding as a whole?
Yeah, history tells you Ireland will get it done. Over the last 15, 20 years, Ireland have become Scotland's bogey team almost. Scotland can seem to, they've been able to beat England, they've beaten France, they put up really good performances against France, but Ireland seem to be the team that it's kryptonite towards for Scotland. I see that continuing. I would see Ireland winning by 10 points plus. I think Scotland will cause Ireland problems. I think between strike moves, kicking game and transition, I think Scotland will score 2 to 3 tries at least. I think this will be a relatively high scoring game. I think Scotland will be in it, but I can see it from sort of 50 minutes on. I can see Ireland stretching away with it a little bit. And I think it's just going to be the physicality that Ireland bring to it. If you go back to last week, Ireland had no platform in the line out. They were under pressure in the scrum. They weren't playing that well, but somehow they were still in the lead with whatever it was, a couple of minutes to go. And they were playing off nothing. So when you take the basics away from that, they should still be able to do something here, I think. They have the history of it. As long as Ireland play to a relatively decent standard to their capability, I think they'll win. For me, it would take an almost perfect game from Scotland and a way below par performance from Ireland to counter that. And on that basis, I'd be going by Ireland.
Yeah, no, I'll stand up next. I think Ireland will win. I think Ireland should win, but I think Ireland have to win. I think if Ireland don't win this game, now granted, we've all made jokes in the past about, you know, do they get a nice easy ride every once in a while off the media? You know, you think of the quarterfinal, you think of Leinster's Highland Cup final. Sorry, Keane, I'm not coming after you, but you know, it would be the same if Munster didn't get an easy ride for the first time ever. But there is these question marks. But then surely they bounce back. Like surely they don't put two bad performances back to back, which to be fair, I don't think we've seen. What was that, Craig? Sorry.
No, I just coughed. That was all it was.
Oh, sorry.
It wasn't even a sarcastic cough. It was just a cough.
I know, I'm all for angry muttering under your breath. Like,
clearly the Irish are rattled. That is exactly what to take away from this. But I lost my train of thought. I think Ireland have to win. I think they should win. We could talk about so many different things that may not matter, like home advantage. You know, like if Twickenham's home advantage was worth 10 points, then it showed the last day, because that was a one score game the whole way through and England pulled away. What's Ireland's worth? Because it is dead a lot of the time, but on the really big days it has shown that it can turn up. Do Scotland believe they can win there? Do Scotland have a game that can win there? Does Scotland have a defensive structure that can shut down the midfield, which I personally, I'm trying to do a piece on this, hopefully. Like, I think midfield is where this game's going to be won, from 9 to 13. You know, Gibson Park, crucial to Ireland, but so too is Ben White. Jack Crowley, the new guy, has been incredible in attack. Even for Ireland's 2 tries last week, he did so, so well. He looked so composed. Finn Russell is the maverick. He's the one that Irish fans love to shit on, but he has been probably, if I take off the Munster hat, probably the best out half in the championship, at least through the first 3 weeks. I think maybe last week might have skewed it then further, and then that's when the Munster hat comes back on. I think Bundy is the best centre of the world right now. As Owen said, Robbie Henshaw is an auxiliary flanker. How long do we see Gary Ringrose come in for? Does he get any minutes? You know, Gary has not played since mid-January, I think, the Heineken Cup. And no disrespect, but like, he get harder runouts in the Algarve with the Ireland squad than what Leinster got in some of those Heineken Cup games, especially the Stade Français games. So there's a lot of questions, but I do think midfield is going to be crucial. I think the defence needs to step up. I think they need to be accurate. I highlighted this a couple of weeks ago. We cannot give the same space to Finn Russell as what we gave to Garbisi and Costello, where they just panicked and they saw big Joe McCarthy in their face and they saw Bundy in their face and they panicked. And I'd panic because I'm the same size as them and I would panic as well. But we can't do that to Finn. That doesn't work. If Anthony, history suggests, stand off him, make him make a decision, give him the options, and just don't make it easy for him in that regard. Do Ireland win? I think they do. I think they should. I think they have to. But I'm probably more nervous for this game than I was last week. And maybe that's just because last week stings. It's been a very long month this week, as Keane said at the start before we came on. It's been a long month, but I think they'll get it done and a little bit of relief. And I must say, if Peter Mahoney is lifting the Six Nations trophy on Saturday evening, there will probably be tears in my eyes. I won't lie. It will be something majestic. It'll be something special. And we don't have to do the Triple Crown. Someone else get the Triple Crown bullshit, because we kind of fucked that away. So it would just be Pete's moment. But I hope he does. And no better man. And listen, I believe he should be on a central contract, but we'll leave that for another day. Craig, I'll turn it over to you. It's 2-2 for Ireland so far. I know you weren't too positive in your own pod last night, but how do you see it going? Do you think Scotland can win in Dublin for the first time in 14 years?
I think we are due a perfect game. We've not had a perfect game for some time. I think we have the ability. We have the players to, you know, where if you try to match Ireland with the same Irish way, but with a blue shirt on instead of a green, you're not going to beat Ireland. But if you can come out and you know, play as well as we can, disrupt as much as we can, so we can work on that transition, I think there's the ability to do that. We've got the ability to score tries. I think you're bang on. The tries there, the try scoring ability is there for Scotland. One thing we haven't mentioned just yet, and I don't know if you were going to mention, but we also, Ireland, have to be very, very careful of the refereeing side of things, because we've got Matt Carley, we've got our dear friend, I'm sure the Irish listeners as well as the Scottish listeners will understand that we're not a big fan of Carl Dixon as well. I'm not going to trot out the usual thing about Andrew Porter, but where little things do to, you know, for example, Tyburn, and Joe McCarthy are both really on the edge of illegal and illegal, and that's the job of rugby. That's the whole game of rugby. You've got to be on the edge of legal and illegal regularly. But if Matt Carley comes out and it is Matt Carley, isn't it? That's referenced.
It is, yeah. With Ridley and Dixon on.
Yeah, Christoph Ridley, you know, he's one. He's not scared of intervening and giving his point of view. We obviously know Carl Dixon is definitely not. Although he does tend to forget his cards, but he's going to be on the sidelines anyway. So, but I think the big thing is going to be set piece scrummage. How that's going to work out? Are Scotland going to earn penalties from that? I think the breakdown is going to be, if they decide that they're going to referee the breakdown harder than, say, other referees referee the breakdown, then Ireland could have issues there as well. So there's a lot up in, you know, there's a lot for the Scots to try and be positive about, and say, well, you know, this could happen, that could happen. But the problem we have is that all goes hand in hand with Scotland having a perfect game. And as we've seen over the last few games within the Six Nations, we can string together a perfect first half or a perfect 20 minutes, and then things go the other way. So, I don't think as a country we're that positive about the game, but, you know, you've got to grab onto a little bit of hope now and then, haven't you? Records are there to be broken.
There's a Triple Crown to be won as well.
Absolutely.
Which you barely mentioned then.
I know. I didn't mention the Triple Crown. We talked about the Triple Crown. It's just another hubcap, isn't it, really?
I suppose there's that. Depend on who you ask. You know, that might be as much as Warren Gatland's second era will ever get to, is a hubcap slash... it won't be a hubcap in the URC terms, because he doesn't believe in it. Anyways, Keane, I'm going to come to you to finish things off. I know you'll be there. I know if we can rely on anyone to be roaring on Ireland from Lansdowne Road, it'll be yourself. So that's a good sign, first of all. But we discussed the numbers, we discussed the tactics, discussed the team. I put it to you, are Ireland going to be Six Nations champions on Sunday, or is it going to be a very morbid tournament review podcast that we record.
Well, I mean, you said Ireland have to win this. As much as that is true, Scotland have to win this. Like, this is a chance for silverware and a really, really good finish. They will never be as motivated as they will be for this game. They're not going to shy away from taking chances where they need to and absolutely lay it into it. The question is, can they do it over 80? It's not a question of if they can do it at all. It's a question of if they can do it over 80. Now, there hasn't been great evidence for that over the rest of the Six Nations, but there wasn't huge evidence that England were going to do to us what they did to us last weekend. So you can't say there's no chance. There's absolutely a chance. But given the evidence available, unless the 80 minutes comes out, and I expect Scotland to get a strong start. I expect them to take the lead first. I expect them to get first blood, actually. But unless they're really within close striking distance by the time halftime rolls around, I can only really see it going one way from there. So, yeah, I reckon Ireland are going to do it. I reckon beat by 2 scores.
Hopefully. We'll leave it at that, gentlemen. It's been less hubristic than it was last week, I won't lie, but we weren't the worst defenders. That's all that matters. That's what history will tell you. Before we go, your fixtures for the weekend. Friday night, the Ireland under-20s against Scotland under-20s. Ireland have a championship for the taking. That is in Musgrave Park. It's also at 7:15 on Virgin Media 2. The early game on Super Saturday, Wales against Italy, RT2, BBC One from 2:15. Then the showdown, Ireland against Scotland. The championship could be won with a game to spare if Ireland can get the job done. That's at 4:45 on Virgin Media 1 and ITV, whoever your local broadcaster is as well, and on Lansdowne Road if you happen to be there. And if you are, you better be in full voice. Finally, France take on England in Lyon to round out the championship. That is on RT2, that is on ITV as well, and that is at 8 p.m. And then a mere 15 hours or so later, we will try and recap it all, the entire tournament. We'll be back, and hopefully it'll be a positive one. And then we turn our attention to the Women's Six Nations from next Monday with feature interviews, State of the Nation, and tournament preview. So hopefully you'll enjoy that as well. Thanks home to everyone for listening. Thanks to Owen, to Craig, and to Keane for coming on this evening. Hopefully Ireland get the job done, but if not, well, you may not see me for a while. I hope that you like what we heard. If you do, please leave a review. It all makes a difference, and subscribe while you're there. You'll find our links down below. But for now, and until next time, take it easy and come on, Ireland.
Sports Social Podcast Network.